Imagine working on a cleaning project, knowing the whole time that pretty soon you'll have to do it all over again. That's what life was like under the old covenant in the Bible. Endless sacrifices, endless rituals, and yet no real lasting solution for sin. In Hebrews 10, we're reminded that the Old Testament law was just a shadow of something better, a final, permanent sacrifice. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant it.
Years ago, as a young seminary student, I worked on the custodial staff of the seminary, and when classes were over, I would change my clothes and begin cleaning the bathrooms. Now, by the time I finished that evening, the sinks and the faucets were scrubbed and polished, the floors were mopped and clean. But the truth is, it was a job much like that of everybody today who cleans their home or their closet or their kitchen sink. After hours of scrubbing and cleaning, I knew in the back of my mind, I'm going to have to do it all over again tomorrow. Well, cleaning is a job that's never done. The dirt and the clutter and the dust just kind of find their way back quicker than you could ever say, finished. Well, as we set sail today in the 10th chapter in the book of Hebrews, that's the point the author begins to make. He's reminding these Hebrew believers, Jewish people who trusted in Christ, who are now struggling with doubts at best, persecution at worst, that living under the old covenant was a system where you could never say, finished. There were always more sacrifices to make, more observances to perform, more seasons, more festivals to attend. But while under the Old Testament covenant law, the sacrifices never ended, there is indeed an end in sight. And it's because something happened in God's timing in human history. And this chapter opens with the author of Hebrews reminding his readers in verse 1 that the Old Testament law with its sacrifices and rituals was never God's final plan. In fact, he calls these sacrifices and rituals here, he writes, but a shadow of the good things to come. Now keep in mind, it takes a source of light to create a shadow. And the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus, is the light of the world. Now, in the meantime, under the law, the same sacrifices for sin were repeated year after year after year in obedience to God's word and plan. But they were never able, as verse 1 tells us, to make perfect those who draw near. In other words, they can't cleanse sin. They can't remove guilt permanently. They're just a shadow of something permanent yet to come. Now, the writer concludes here with a rather blunt statement that, frankly, would have shocked devout Jewish people in his day. He writes here in verse 4, "It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." Well, he's saying here to these Jewish believers, if you think there's anything to gain by returning to that system, you're deluding yourselves. God has done away with that temporary system. He has now fully provided for you a better permanent sacrifice. Beloved, this is all another way of saying, another way of telling us not to put our trust or hope in anyone or anything other than Jesus to remove our guilt and sin. Nothing else can comfort us in our deepest need. Nothing can make us able to stand before God in a right relationship with Him apart from Christ. Now with that, the writer does something interesting here. He supports his point that animal sacrifices were inadequate, and he quotes then, to buttress this point, from Psalm chapter 40. Psalm 40 was written by King David, but the writer of Hebrews says that the words were spoken by Jesus. Even more interesting, these words aren't recorded in the Gospels, and that's because Jesus didn't speak them during his public ministry. He spoke these words to God the Father just before departing the glory of heaven for the womb of a woman on earth. And here's what he said in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you've taken no pleasure. Now that might sound strange, since God commanded all these sacrifices to begin with, back in the book of Leviticus. Did he change his mind? He commanded them, but now he doesn't want them? He doesn't take pleasure in them? Well, yes, he commanded these sacrifices, but the sacrifices were never his ultimate plan. They were his temporary measure. You see, under the old covenant, Israel frankly needed something to make them ceremonially clean enough to draw near to God's holy presence without being incinerated by the just wrath of God toward their sin. The sacrifices accomplished that cleansing, at least when they were done in faith, according to God's instructions. The trouble is, the nation Israel began to believe that they were doing God a big favor by sacrificing animals and keeping these symbolic rituals. Well, let me tell you, beloved, it's easy to separate the symbol from true spiritual meaning. We can do that today. Somebody can pray over their meal that God will nourish their body without any real desire to give their body to the things of God. Thousands of people will attend a Christmas worship service as one of their traditions, one of their festivals, without having any love for Christ. Samuel told disobedient King Saul, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Well, here in Hebrews chapter 10, we're told that Jesus offered himself as the final sacrifice in complete obedience to his Father. And verse 7 records him saying, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." That's another way of saying that it was God's will all along to replace the entire sacrificial system of the old covenant with a new covenant instituted by Christ the Messiah. So that's what verse 9 means. He does away with the first covenant in order to establish the second. Well, here's the amazing plan of God in human history: to do away with the endless cycle of ineffective sacrifices and make people acceptable before him through Christ. Verse 10 tells us that was accomplished through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So Jesus has guaranteed our acceptance before God for all eternity. He did what we could never do. Jesus, now verse 12 says, offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Think about it. Jesus could literally say on that cross, "Finished." He did, didn't he? "It is finished." By the way, he didn't say, "I am finished." Oh, he was just getting started. But his one sacrifice on that cross finished all that was needed for your eternal salvation. Now with that, here in verses 16 and 17, the writer quotes the same verses from Jeremiah he quoted back in chapter 8, focusing on two of God's promises. He writes, "I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds, and I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." You can't say it any clearer. The sacrifice of Jesus was once for all and entirely sufficient to pay for our sins. And when we, by faith, personally accept his work on our behalf, we enter into this new covenant promise. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. He begins his work inside us, changing us from the inside out. It's no longer a matter of rituals and festivals and ceremonies and sacrifices. It is a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus. But did you catch that new covenant promise, by the way, that God will remember our sins no more? Isn't that an amazing statement? It's amazing to me because God doesn't forget anything. He has always known everything. He always knows everything at once. So does this mean that God is forgetful? No, when God says he won't remember our sins, he's effectively saying that they don't exist anymore. In other words, there's nothing left for him to remember. There's nothing left for him to deal with. Nothing sinful about you exists that he would ever need to punish. You are perfectly safe forever. How? Well, Jesus took your sins, past, present, and still future sins, upon himself 2,000 years ago, and then he got rid of them forever. His blood literally washed them all away, taking them as far away as the east is from the west, Psalm 103, verse 12. They can never come back to haunt you. As the writer says here in verse 14, Jesus has perfected us for all time. That's why verse 18 can say, where there is forgiveness of these sins, there is no longer any offering for sin. No offering is needed again. Beloved, you've been completely, fully, entirely, eternally forgiven through Christ's once for all sacrifice. He finished the job, and it will never have to be done again. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Jesus didn't just do part of the work for your salvation. He finished it. His sacrifice was final, perfect, and sufficient. You no longer need to fear judgment or rely on rituals. You are forgiven forever through Christ's finished work. What great news for today! Would you like more good news? Stephen has a website that's filled with his 4 decades of Bible teaching. When you visit wisdomonline.org, you'll find all of the past broadcasts of this wisdom journey. You'll also find Stephen's second daily program called Wisdom for the Heart. In addition, you'll discover the archive of Stephen's preaching ministry. Those full-length sermons are available for you to listen free and on demand. If you'd like to read Stephen's manuscripts, you can do that as well. All of that and more is available for you at wisdomonline.org. While you're there, be sure and take advantage of the opportunity you have to sign up for Stephen's email list called Friends of Wisdom. You'll receive weekly encouragement in your inbox, so join thousands of people receiving that encouraging content. Join us next time on The Wisdom Journey.